As Pastor Andy said, these are words from the prophet Jeremiah. From his first chapter, verses 4 through 10, Jeremiah's words explaining how he was called to be a prophet. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of Scripture. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you to a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "O Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Then the Lord put out a hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. For the word in the creation, for the word in Scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God."
Our gospel reading this morning comes from Luke, the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 11. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. And then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let your nets down for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we've worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid, for from now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. For the word in creation, for the word in Scripture, and for the word within us, thanks be to God. The best place to start a story is not necessarily the beginning. The best place to start a story is where you are. Frederick Buechner once said, "I say that feet are very religious. I say that if you want to know who you are, you could do a lot worse than to look to your feet for an answer. When you wake up in the morning, called by God to be a self again, if you want to know who you are, watch your feet. Because where your feet take you, that's where you are." Jeremiah was, in his own words, only a boy. That he was to be a prophet to the nations was probably the most absurd thing that he could imagine. He said, "I don't know how to speak," protesting to the voice that he heard. But the voice, the word, was persistent. "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdom." Now. Today. Right where you are. And the boy looked at his feet, and he was now a prophet. Simon, James, and John had been fishing all night and caught nothing. There was nothing left to do but to head to shore and clean their nets. And Jesus was nearby on the shore speaking to a crowd of people that the story tells us was pressing in on him. The word used there for pressing in really means a little bit more than just crowding him. It means a threatening pressure. Even to the point that Jesus starts looking around for a way to get away from this crowd. And so, lucky for him, the fisherman had a bad night, and he looks over and Simon's boat is empty, and it's the perfect place for a floating pulpit. And so Simon takes him out to finish his teaching from his boat. Simon protested with the previous night's failure when Jesus suggested after the sermon, "Let's go fishing." And Simon said, "Are you kidding me? We've been fishing all night. We're fishermen. We haven't caught a thing. And you want to go back out there?" Jesus says, "Well, take it out a little deeper. You're just not fishing in the right place." And so Simon humors Jesus. And by the time it's all over, Simon, James, and John are looking at their feet and seeing nothing but fish in their boats. They all make their way to shore. And Jesus says, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." Jesus looks at his feet, and he's no longer a solo itinerant preacher, but he now has companions. Simon, James, and John look at their feet, and they are off on a journey of which they have no idea or imagination where it will take them. God told Jeremiah, "Now, today." And Jesus said to Simon and James and John, "From now on." And Buechner says, "When you wake up in the morning, the place to start is now. And here." And we never ever know what a day or a moment will hold for us. 21 years ago, on this date, the collective world, and especially our nation, was shocked into looking at our feet. to find ourselves in a whole new world, a world far more treacherous and dangerous than most had previously thought. It was so dramatic that life for an entire generation or two has been divided into a time of before and after. And I would suggest to us that this morning, not only the traumatic events of our lives, but each of our lives is a series of before and after. Some of these before and after events are more significant than others, but all of them, no matter how traumatic, no matter how dramatic, no matter how mundane, all of them hold the seeds of the past and the future in the moment of now. Priest and philosopher and teacher Alan Watts says, "The past and the future are real illusions. They exist only in the present, which is what there is and all there is." Each day, each moment of life is a beginning, an opportunity to start where you are. It is rarely, if ever, the beginning of the whole story, but always the beginning of at least a new chapter of the story. I'd like to share with you one such day in my life that came nearly 50 years ago. Some of you have heard this story, but and some of you may have already forgotten it. But I can guarantee you, I'll never forget it. I was a junior in college, an English literature major preparing to become a high school teacher. It was the first day of a second course in French. Now, the problem was that the first course in French had been 2 years before, and I had done miserably. As a matter of fact, I had made the only D I had ever made in my life in that course. I was traumatized by it. But I had to have the second course in order to complete my degree. It was required. My advisor says, "You've got to bite the bullet and take this course." So I did. The professor, I soon learned, conducted the class entirely in French. She made her way around the room in simple conversation, asking each student their name, their hometown, their major, just simple conversation. I was terrified. You might say I was pressed upon. When she came to me and asked my name in French, I replied in good Southern English, "My name is Andy Walton." She didn't even let me finish. She says, "En français, Monsieur Walton." And I said, "You can just go to the next person. I'm dropping this course as soon as it's over." And for the first time, she broke into English and said, "Mr. Walton, stay after class." Well, I didn't. As soon as that class was over, I was out the door before she could say au revoir. Panicked, I began looking for an empty boat. And the first open door I came to, I saw a sign that said Department of Speech and Drama. Well, the front desk was unattended, but looking down the hallway, I could see a man sitting at a desk. And after walking down that hallway and abruptly entering and introducing myself, I announced to the head of the department, Dr. Clarence McCord, I need a major that doesn't require a foreign language. He pulled my transcript and looked at me askew and says, "But you're already a junior." But after an hour of reviewing my transcript and looking at options, we came up with a plan. I would be now a major in speech communication with enough credits in English to still be a high school English teacher, which was my plan. I only had to select an area of emphasis within this speech degree. And my choices were broadcasting, debate, puppetry, and theater. So I did a quick game of rock, paper, scissors in my head and blurted out theater. I was told to go that evening to McCrone Auditorium and report to Dr. Bob West to schedule my practicum hours in the theater program. The auditorium was alive with students. I mean, the atmosphere was just electric. There was energy in that room. People seemed to know what they were doing, and they were talking to each other. Not like a typical college classroom. I found Dr. West, and he was busy talking to other students, but he finally got to me, and I told him what I needed, and he pointed me toward another student on the other side of the room and said, "There's the student lighting designer. You're on the lighting crew." I soon discovered that I was at the first gathering of the cast and crew of that quarter's musical, which was The Man of La Mancha. The story of an awakening to purpose and meaning and dignity and a quest for justice. I eventually became the lighting console operator for the entire production. But that night, I looked at my feet in McCrone Auditorium, and I swear it was filled with fish. I had found a home. And that was the first of nearly 100 musicals, plays, and reviews, spanning a 17-year career of designing, producing, acting, and directing in the theater. And it would be at least 15 years before I would seriously look at my feet again. But that's the rest of the story. Today's story reminds us that Jeremiah, Jesus, Simon, James, John, Don Quixote of Man of La Mancha all looked at their feet to discover their purpose, meaning, dignity, and their quest for justice. And each and every one of us, individually and collectively, are called to look down and see where we are. Look at your feet. And when you do, you'll see the starting line. Amen. Friends, the stories we've heard this morning in our scriptures are not stories to intimidate. They are stories to encourage. They are stories to challenge. They are stories that remind us that not all are to be prophets, not all are to be disciples, apostles. Not all are to be valiant knights fighting windmills. Not all are called to the theater. Not all are called to be pastors. But every one of us is called to be faithful. To be faithful to what the circumstances of our life are here and now within the mercy and the grace and the love of the gospel. So look at your feet and see where you are and ask the question, how can I serve here and now and take the first step and start where you are? Amen.
Thank you.